This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21? You can find that on page 978 if you're using the Bible that's in the bench in front of you. This is our text for today. And part of this text was in the video we just watched. I would invite you as you turn there, would you please stand with me? Let's honor the reading of God's Word by standing if you are able. Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is God's word. Please be seated. As you're finding your seat, I understand that we may all be experiencing some level of discomfort right now, and there may be some of you who in the bustle of finding your seats may be trying to get to the door, because let's be honest, this passage is probably not the one that you get tattooed on your ankle if you're into tattoos. It's probably not the passage that you put on a banner at a certain season of time on the front door of your house to celebrate. It's probably not a passage that leaves us feeling real comfortable. My guess is most of us are experiencing some level of discomfort hearing this passage. Am I right? You know, there's some of you who aren't married, you're seriously considering your options for getting out of here right now, because you have been to a lot of churches and you've heard a lot of sermons that have made you feel like you have to be married in order to really fit in, or that a single person doesn't have the same worth in the church as married people. You've felt that way, and so you're considering right now like a coughing attack that will take you out to the restroom for a few minutes and then you can escape to the parking lot. That's what I'd recommend if you're looking for an option. You know, you may have that app on your phone that allows you to escape a bad date by sort of slyly pushing a button and it calls you, and it's an important call that you've got to go take. That could work too, although the coughing thing I think more people would understand. Either way, I know that right now you may be feeling a little bit uncomfortable if you are among the people that in this room is not married for whatever reason. Some of you, though, are feeling uncomfortable for a different reason. You have been bullied or maybe even abused by people who call themselves Christians and point to this passage as justification for their unjustifiable behavior. If that's you, I can only imagine that hearing this bit of God's holy word proclaimed verbally out loud in church probably is leaving your skin crawling just a little bit. And most of the rest of us, I think, are feeling the tension of a passage of Scripture that very clearly lifts up this concept of submission when we live in a culture that views submission as a dirty word. We live in a culture that sees the concept of submission as being a terrible, awful thing. And this culture says that we should resist that, and that anybody who calls you to submit is probably trying to take advantage of you. I want to assure all of us of a few things today. And the first thing is that the tension that we all feel about submitting in our current culture, it puts us in great company. In fact, it puts us in the very company of Jesus himself. He felt the tension when it came to this topic, this idea of submission. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. You know, neither this text nor any other text in the Bible, I want to assure you, can be used in a legitimate way to bully or abuse or demean or speak down to somebody. And if that's been your experience, I want to tell you it's a new day. That's not where we're going today with this text. It's not where Paul intended to go with this text. It is not God's heart. So I want you to know this is a new day. And finally, I want to assure all of you, if you happen to be one of the people here who is single, I know how hard it is to be single in the church. It's a difficult place to find your fit if you're not married in the church. I want to assure you that this is not a passage about marriage primarily. And this is not going to be a sermon about marriage primarily. Marriage is in there, but the primary focus of this passage is not marriage. The primary focus of this sermon will not be marriage. And I want to assure you that there is truth in this passage that all of us need. Whether you never marry, or whether you've been married many times, or whether you are currently married, I want you to know there is truth in God's Word that we need if we are going to walk with Jesus. So if we are going to walk in this, if we are going to walk in the gospel, today, we need to talk about that. We need to talk about this concept of submission. So I want to invite you, if you're feeling uncomfortable, just join me in that, because we're going to press into God's Word today. And I think we're going to see a beautiful picture that Paul paints that will help us know what it truly means to walk with Christ. And so to start us off, you know, through the years, many people have messed up this text. They've gotten it wrong. And I've spent 7 years of my life in some form or another of Christian higher education. So I've been around a lot of Christians who have said a lot of weird things. I don't know if any of you have had that experience. If you've been to a Christian college or been to seminary, Christians say some really funny things sometimes. And nobody's laughing, so I guess you don't realize you say funny things sometimes, you guys. You all do. We all do. But I've heard some really funny things about this passage. I've heard people teach that this passage is biblical evidence that men and women in marriage, wives and husbands, should divide up things like household chores in a certain way. That there is a certain place for men and a certain place for women, and if you don't follow that, you're messing up this passage. I've actually heard Christians say that, and I didn't see that in here. I've heard Christians declare that this passage is reason to see men as being somehow more valuable or closer to God than women because of some of the things that it says in here. I've actually heard Christians say that. Again, I'm scratching my head because that is so far from what this passage teaches. But Christians say some funny things. And so could it really mean that? I don't think so. How do we avoid going down these paths that are out there? I know you've heard some of these things too. So we're going to start today with a vital observation that if we are going to understand this passage correctly, we need to look at verse 21. So turn and look at verse 21 with me. And our vital observation for today to begin us on the correct path, the right path for truly understanding this passage is verse 21 is key. This is the key for this whole passage. And we're going to do a little bit of grammatical nerdiness here. So I hope you're willing to indulge me just for a moment with this. But verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I don't know if you did the math here, but if you go back starting in verse 21 and try to find the beginning of that sentence, we can thank Paul for being Paul and writing a crazy long run-on sentence that begins all the way back in verse 18. If you're using the ESV version of the Bible here. And so the fact that verse 21 is the key to this passage isn't very clear in a lot of our English translations. If your Bible is anything like mine, verse 21 ends a paragraph, and then there's a heading over a new section that says wives and husbands, and verse 22 starts a new paragraph. And this is a good time just to remember as we look at God's Word that God's Word does not include those section headings and the placement of those verse numbers. That was all added by people later on to make it easier so that instead of saying, hey, turn to the 437th sentence in the book of Ephesians, we could all actually just find it with the numbers. It's a helpful thing for studying together, but sometimes it actually distracts us instead of helps us from understanding the true meaning. And here, Paul has made a very complicated and rapid change of thought in verses 20 and 21. And verse 21 serves as kind of the hinge, this pivot point, where he's wrapping up what he was talking about in the previous section, the section that Zach preached on last week, which, by the way, Zach, thank you. That was a helpful message for me. I was not here last week, but I was able to get online and listen to the message. I would encourage you to do that if you missed it. But, boy, the call for us to be intentional, to honor God with how we spend our time, that has been useful for me. I don't know, how'd your calendar challenge go? How many of you guys did the calendar challenge last week? Anybody? You see some hands? Okay. All right. You guys pray those prayers? Lord, is this the best use of my time? God, am I creating space in my week to be filled by your Spirit? I hope that was helpful. That stuff is really important. And Paul, in verse 21, he's wrapping up that thought, but he's also turning to a brand new thought. And when the English translators translated this passage of Scripture, they had to make a decision and say, well, does verse 21 belong more with the previous section or the next section? Because there's just not a real easy way to translate what Paul was doing here into English. And so we have this weird verse that is the key to truly understanding what follows, in fact, all the way to chapter 6, verse 9. And so, something that's interesting, if you study the original language, verse 22 that says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, that verse actually does not contain the word submit in the Greek. It borrows it from verse 21. It's a common Greek grammatical construction that we don't really use in English these days very much. And that shows us, it demonstrates Paul's intent. And the Holy Spirit's intent is, as God's Holy Spirit was working through Paul to write this, that verse 21 is inextricably tied to what follows. And so it serves as the key for our study today. So if we look at verse 21, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. If that's the key, there's three vital implications for us as we look at what follows and Paul's instructions for marriage. Those vital implications, they start with this. Number one, this passage, as I mentioned earlier, is primarily about the Christian gospel and God's church, not primarily about marriage. This passage is primarily about the Christian gospel and God's church. The video captured that so beautifully. It's not primarily about marriage. And if you look at verse 32, where Paul says this, he says, this mystery is profound. Talking about wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives. He says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Verse 32 reveals something, a difference in how we see marriage and how God sees marriage. And this passage highlights that difference. And here it is. Our primary goal in marriage as people is satisfaction, while God's primary goal in marriage is revelation. You see, God is aiming to reveal Himself. He's aiming to reveal the truth of the gospel. He's aiming to reveal His character and how He acts and what He does. He's aiming to reveal what the church is supposed to look like through marriage. His goal is revelation. If you've had premarital counseling with me, you've probably heard this more than you'd like to hear it. We go over this over and over and over again. If we enter marriage primarily looking for self-satisfaction of our desires for intimacy, our desires for commitment, our desires for financial stability, our desires for companionship, probably you'll end up being let down because God allows some of those things to happen through marriage, but His goal, His primary aim with marriage is to reveal Himself to us. And this passage is primarily about the Christian gospel in God's church. The second vital implication, if we understand 5:21 as the key for this passage, is that our reason for submitting is Christ. It's not roles or status. Our reason for submitting, it's Jesus Christ Himself. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's not about reverence for your husband. It's not about reverence for your wife. It's not about reverence for your boss, as we see later on in this passage in chapter 6, verse 5, or reverence for your parents in chapter 6, verse 1. It's about reverence for Christ. Jesus is our reason for submitting. And that changes the way we understand the rest of the instructions within marriage, which takes us to our third vital implication, and that is this. The instructions that Paul gives for wives and husbands are no different than what is already commanded to all believers. If you look at chapter 5, verse 21 here, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's not just for those who are married. That's for those of us who are Christians. That's all of us. If you look at chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The instructions to husbands and wives, it boils down to these two things that Paul has already called every believer to do. So, what we have here, we have Paul getting specific in areas that he knows we tend to be weak. He knows that in marriage, we'll struggle to follow this. He knows that in relationships with our parents, that we'll hear about next week, and our employers, we'll struggle with this concept of submission. And so he gets particular about those areas. But that also means that the applications that we find within Paul's instructions to husbands and wives, it means they can be useful to you even if you are not a husband or a wife. It means we can all benefit from this passage. This passage is not just for those who are married. So with that, let's move on to the text about marriage. We could spend a lot of time here. In fact, we could craft a whole series focused on what follows here. So just know that today we won't be covering everything because you guys have lunch plans and Mother's Day stuff, and I want to honor moms by not preaching a four-hour sermon. And so we're not going to cover everything in this passage. But there are three big questions that rise to the top as we look at what follows here in verses 22 through 33. There's three big questions. The first question is addressed directly to wives. Wives, what does it mean for you, for wives to submit to their husbands as to the Lord? What does that mean to submit to your husband as to the Lord? The second question is for husbands. Husbands, what does it mean for you, for the husband to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church? You've probably heard the term biblical headship, and you probably responded kind of like, ooh, that sounds weird. Biblical headship, what does it mean? Husbands, what does it mean for you to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church? And then the third question, this is for husbands again. I'm picking on husbands a little bit because that's what Paul does. He spends most of his time addressing husbands here. Husbands, how has Christ loved the church? He says that husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And he spends a lot of time on that. How has Christ loved the church, and what does it mean for us to love our wives the same way that He did? Well, the answers to these questions are all in the person of Jesus. We can see them in the person of Jesus. And here's where we could spend a lot of time looking at the way Jesus ministered during His earthly ministry, looking at the things that He said and the things that He did, and it would be a fruitful study. It would be a great way to spend a lot of time is looking at the person of Jesus. I want to focus us today on the person of Jesus, especially in His final hours before He went to the cross. Because we get to see what it means to submit to Him during those final hours. We get to see what it means for Jesus to demonstrate biblical headship in His final hours. And so the first place I want to turn is John chapter 13. And you can find that on page 900 if you're using the Bible that's in front of you, the Pew Bible. In John chapter 13, we get this amazing picture. This is the Last Supper. This is as Jesus knows that his time before the cross is coming to a close. And it says this. John 13:1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." One final act of love that was to set the course for what it meant to love each other. And what did he do? He got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He filled a basin with water. And he proceeded to go and take the place, take the role of the lowest servant in the household. That job was to wash the feet of the guests. In this day and age, you probably have heard about this, you know, all they had for shoes were Birkenstocks. And so they walked around in their Birkenstocks, and their cars were donkeys, and you know, the emissions from donkeys were stuff that you could get stuck on your feet as you walked around the streets. And so these feet were filthy. And Jesus went to his disciples one by one. He washed their feet. Look what happens when he gets to Peter. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Like, are you really going to do this? He's very uncomfortable with this. Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter, being Peter, answers. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. If I have not forgiven you, if you do not submit to my sacrificial act of love, you have no place with me. You know, my wife and I, when we were married, we planned a really long marriage ceremony. Craig Fortunato was one of the officiants. We had two, just to give you an idea how long this thing was. And one of the things that we wanted to do in our marriage ceremony that we felt was really important, we wanted to reenact this scene. We washed each other's feet. And we were young and full of love and care for each other. And I'll never forget, my father-in-law, my wife's father, he is such a gifted man. He wrote a song and performed that song while we washed each other's feet. And the song was all about laying down our lives for each other, because that was the symbolism of washing our feet. And I'll never forget, we had this white bowl full of water. And I took my wife's precious foot in my hands and gently slipped off the elegant little shoe slipper thing that she was wearing. And I held in my hand that most perfectly professionally manicured feet and clean toes that you've ever seen. And I kind of ceremoniously dribbled a little bit of water and wiped it off and carefully put that foot back into the sandal and strapped it back on. And it was like what you'd imagine. And it was just this beautiful moment, you know, of serving, of giving of myself and serving my wife and showing just how far I'd go to serve her. And then we switch places. And Bonnie gets down on one knee. I'm a 22-year-old young man at this point, and I had a brand new pair of black socks, dress socks that came up to about here. And so she had to hike up my pants and peel that sock off. This wedding was in the late afternoon in kind of the end of July. And so I had been sweating a little bit, you know, like it was a big day, okay? And so, I mean, and I'm wearing a tuxedo, I'm wearing a suit and a jacket, and so I'm sweating. And so she had to turn that thing inside out as she peeled it off my foot. And then the magic was over, because that sock had left all these big black fuzzy things all over. And so she has a decision to make right now. Everybody's watching. Is she actually going to wash my foot clean and get all that? I mean, clearly it's covered with stuff. And I mean, it was like, it was such a great picture of, you know, we sort of get this idea of what laying our lives down and sacrificing for each other and serving each other looks like, what that means. And, you know, I think our picture is usually more like, what happened for me in our wedding ceremony of just this beautiful, perfect foot that doesn't smell. There's no sweat. She's perfect and everything, and just a little bit of water. But what it actually turns out to be, ladies, you married a big sweaty beast. And you're going to have to really, truly, like, put some effort into this. And the reality is that in the church, we don't encounter perfect feet. We encounter the filth that's in my life and yours. That's what happens. So wives, what does it mean to submit to your husband as to the Lord? What does that mean? It means you have to let Jesus wash you clean. It means submitting to the Lord's work to remove the deepest, darkest filth from your heart and know that you are loved and cherished by your Creator so much so that Jesus would go to the very ends of the earth and into death itself to save you, to wash you clean. And then your husband is going to turn around and he's going to sin worse than you could have ever imagined. Wives, what does it mean to submit to your husbands as to the Lord? The way we submit to the Lord is we allow His cleansing, forgiving work into our lives. So I want to ask you, wives, is your presence in your home, is it primarily a presence that welcomes the work of Jesus in forgiving and cleansing the filthiest of feet? Is the primary trait of your home one of forgiveness? Or is it a place that the bitterness and anger and frustration about that filth builds up over time? Is your husband on a performance improvement plan? It's kind of funny, but like we all are, right? Does your husband have to meet certain performance qualifications for you to extend to him the kind of forgiveness and love and care that Jesus has extended to you? For him to know, now I know that most wives would say any day of the week, I respect my husband. For him to feel your respect and know you respect him. Does he have to meet a list of requirements that you have for him that you may or may not have shared with him? You know, if this text is not primarily about marriage, then we should start talking about the church a little bit too, right? In the church, do we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ? Do we submit to the reality that Jesus is willing to get down on his knees and wash the filthiest of filth off of the sinner that has stepped in at the deepest? Are we willing to extend that kind of forgiveness and submit to each other out of reverence for what Christ has done for us? Forgiveness is the primary activity of the church. And submission to Christ is the first step. Forgiveness is the primary activity of the church, and submission to Christ is the first step. And I would say that in the homes of those who are married, forgiveness should be the primary activity of your home. And submitting to Christ is the first step. Let's move on to husbands here. And for husbands, let's take a look at Matthew 26:39. You can find that on page 832. Look at what happens. This is literally the final moments before Jesus is betrayed into the hands of those who would crucify him. The final moments. And Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He is there with his disciples, and he asked them to pray with him, and this is his prayer. Verse 39 of Matthew chapter 26 says this, "And going a little further, Jesus fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." We know from other places in Scripture that Jesus is praying this prayer as he is literally sweating blood. The stress of knowing what's coming in the cup of God's wrath and the crucifixion has created so much stress that the capillaries in his pores have burst, and so the sweat that he feels on that hot night in that garden is mingled with blood flowing down his face. It won't be the first time that blood flows down his face that night. "If possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That is Jesus' prayer. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This is Jesus feeling the tension of what it means to submit. Jesus, in all of his perfection, he is perfectly God and perfectly man. He still feels the tension of what it means to submit to his heavenly Father. And he says, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But Father, I don't want my will, I want your will." So if we ask this question of husbands, what does it mean for the husband to be the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church? It comes down to biblical headship. What does biblical headship look like? Men, I want to speak to you in this room. What does biblical headship look like in marriage and in the church? Biblical headship is about submitting to the Father's way, not getting your own way. Biblical headship is about submitting to the Father's way, not getting your own way. Men, I want to ask you some tough questions right now. Is your presence in your family? Is your presence in your church? Is your presence in your workplace? Is your presence at all the places in between? Does it point to the Father getting His way, or does it point to you getting your way? Do you demonstrate to your family what it looks like to share in the self-sacrifice of Jesus every day as you live your life? Do you demonstrate biblical headship to your family of what it looks like for you to bend to the Father's will, how you use your money, how you use your time, where you invest relationally? I got to be honest, these are tough questions for me to deal with this week. I don't like all the answers. This passage calls us to embrace a biblical headship that understands that headship is all about submitting to the will of the Father. It's all about God the Father getting His will and His way in my life and in my family instead of me getting my will and my way. Husbands, how has Christ loved the church? What does it mean for us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her? What does that mean? What does that look like? Christ's love for the church, it was a lot of things, but it certainly was these three things. It was present. It was powerful. It was sacrificial. Jesus was present in the incarnation. He didn't just appear in time to take our sins upon Himself at the cross. No, He walked with the people He loved. He ate meals with them. He spent time with them. He was present with them physically, emotionally, and relationally. Husbands, is that how you're present with your families? Are you present with them physically, emotionally, relationally? Do you know the names of all your kids' teachers and your kids' friends? Do you know the days that are toughest for your wife and the days that are great? Do you know how your family is doing? Like, do you know when your wife needs a break and needs you to say, "I'm going to take a vacation day and I'm going to take the kids and you're going to go do whatever you want. I don't care what you do, but go spend some time with your friends. Go spend some time with the Lord." Do you know? Are you that connected? Are you relationally present? Jesus sets a pretty high bar for us in the incarnation. He was present with those he loved. His love was powerful. He used his strength to meet people's needs, to provide sustenance, to heal infirmities. He used his strength to fix and repair and restore that which was broken. Men, how do you use your strength? Is your strength only expressed when your needs aren't being met? Do you exert your strength to provide everything you can for your family? And again, we're talking about the church here too. Do you do the same thing for your church? Christ's love is sacrificial. He gave himself up for the church. He was all in. He didn't hold anything back. So, as we look at what it means for us to reflect Christ's love, as we look at what it means for us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, I want to point us to the example of Jesus. Jesus himself modeled perfect submission to his Father. So here's our big idea for today. Remember, this is not a message primarily about marriage. This is about the church. And church, here's what we need. The big idea today, what we need to understand that walking with Jesus means submitting with Jesus to the will of our Father. Walking with Jesus means submitting with Jesus. It means we embrace his work. It means that we long to see God the Father's will played out in every aspect of our lives as a church, as families. This is something, whether you are married or not, you and I must have if we are going to walk with Jesus. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I lift up right now to you all the Mother's Day celebrations that will happen today. I lift up to you all the conversations that will happen in the car and over meals. And as everything has died down this evening, Heavenly Father, I lift up to you those moments that those who are married in this room respond to your work and your Spirit by confessing to their spouses how they need to embrace submission to Christ. Lord, I lift up all those in this room who are not married, who struggle. Who struggle with finding their place in the church. Lord, I pray that you would show them. Show them that the best gift of marriage is not satisfaction, but it is your revelation. Lord, reveal your love and care. May we all know your goodness. May we all know your sacrifice. Lord, may we know the will of you, our Father in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our goal is to encourage and equip people to become fully developing followers of Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.